Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. To News Over Brews, it's like the other shows that are on NPR, but much more interesting. I'm your host, Al Manarino. With me, as always, my two friends, brothers, lovers, what? Ryan DeMarco?
Shut up, Al, I'm drinking.
And Lucas Jones.
What?
And Lucas, I feel like there's like a special guest or something near you. You wanna introduce him?
Dave's here.
Oh.
Dave!
Hey, what's going on?
Introduction?
I mean,
in this corner, standing in at approximately 6'1", weighing just a hair under 164 pounds, it's Dave!
Hey!
Was I right?
No.
Is that close?
No.
Dave, you want to give him your full name?
Name, social
security
number.
Dave Eicher is my name.
Welcome back, Dave. Dave, you might remember from the classic News Over Brews episode where we did a round table of a ton of beer that Lucas brought back from Boston.
Was that actually ever aired?
Yes.
So if you're a true knobber, if you listen to every episode, if you're that one guy that's not Lucas playing the episode and making sure he didn't mess up, thank you for returning. And welcome Dave back. Yay!
Yay.
So we only bring Dave out of his cave of loneliness.
Because he does nothing.
He does nothing.
Until we call him.
Exactly. He's just waiting. He's just sitting there like...
We climb up that mountain.
He'll
He's
call.
At the peak in the castle. We knock on the door. We're like,
yes.
It's time.
It's time.
And then
Time because this is really special. We grabbed three of probably the most sought-after beers right now, currently.
Until KBS comes out.
Until KBS comes out. Lucas, what did you bring us?
Bourbon County.
Now, did you bring us the one that usually comes out each year?
I did
not. Feel free to elaborate.
I actually brought three Bourbon Counties. I brought you a regular Bourbon County. I brought the barley wine. And I
just lose all your
keep going.
I brought their Regal Rye. All three beers cost a pretty penny. But...
wallet hurts.
Yeah, how do you think I felt when I paid for them all at once?
Sick person.
My Venmo hurts.
I don't even have a Venmo.
Not a thing.
Yeah, so these are pretty expensive. They're what, about how much a piece?
So they released the beers in bigger sizes this year. So instead of releasing them in 12-ounce bottles, they released them in 16-ounce bottles. So they're more expensive. There was $12.99 for the regular, I think $15 for the barley wine, and $26.99 for the Regal Rye.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mainly because he got them at Buy Right.
Ooh.
Well.
Because at Spirits plug, their regular Bourbon County was $9.99. Mm-hmm. So you can buy it cheaper than $13.
If you can get it.
Oh, well, Dave, why don't you bring us all of the Bourbon County variants that you got from Spirits? Spirits didn't have the variants.
I had one.
This is our house.
Oh, wait, they don't have an army. Maybe they should just shut the fuck up.
We're shutting out our one guest.
Anyway.
So I got the regular and then the barley wine and the Regal Rye. Couldn't get coffee because we had already run out.
Sad that you worked there and couldn't get
it.
You stocked the shelves. You could be this belongs in the Miller section.
I have to respect the system, and I don't want to hoard. You know my stance on hoarding and being the dick that buys it all before people can get there. The coffee went really fast this year because it's not the barley wine, which some people don't like, but it's really cheap. So the coffee is $15.99. But the Regal Rye is $26.
Relatively
so
speaking.
When people go, okay, I've had the regular one, I've had the barley wine, because a lot of people got the barley wine. What are the two variants? One's $26.99 and one's $15.99. Which one am I going to get? They got the $15.99.
So you have a ton of the other one left? Or no?
The rye. I think we have a couple ryes, maybe one barley wine, and like three cases of the regular.
This is relevant for the guy listening to in Tokyo.
Thank you to our one viewer in Tokyo, one listener in Tokyo.
He's always going to forget to cut that out.
But, yeah, so I grabbed them. So I think the thing for tonight is going to be, we'll do a beer, we'll talk a topic, we'll switch to another beer, we'll switch to a topic, we'll do a third beer, we'll try to talk another topic, and then we'll pass out.
But wait, I just chugged this glass of Bourbon County.
No, you didn't. Don't lie to the folks at home. I can see it right there.
All
right,
what if I do, though?
Then you're shit out of luck.
Because I'm going to be dead.
That's a complete waste.
So, this year's Bourbon County.
Oh, Lucas, tell us what beer we're drinking.
So, this year's Bourbon County.
The regular
Bourbon County. Black. None more black, really. Very little head. Smell. Bourbon.
Getting some booze, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty boozy.
Initial sip. Hit with an enormous. Not a word.
Good word.
Thank you.
Enormous
amount of booze. Full on booze.
Yeah, it's booze.
But now that I'm like sipping it, still boozy, but not like it's like gonna kill me kind of booze.
Well, I'm definitely getting vanilla. Yeah. And like that vanilla oak. Absolutely. Characteristic from the barrels. I mean,
definitely getting some.
There's so much booze.
There's a lot of booze on this.
This is the 14.3% version. There was a 13.8% version that was made specifically for states that have a 14% alcohol limit, like Georgia. Due to a shipping mix-up, Georgia got the 14.3 and had to send it all back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sorry, oh, Georgia. Geez. Shit out of luck. Don't have such stupid alcohol laws.
Ohio has a 12%, so they get any of zero. It. Mm-hmm. So it sucks to be in Ohio.
Yeah. Well, for more reasons than just...
And, yeah, but, yeah, there's a lot more than beer. Definitely getting a nice balance of... A hint of smoke, which is nice. Char or something.
It's yeah.
The oak, right? The charred or whatever.
Yeah, there's some kind of like toasted, roasty stuff happening. My incredibly scientific.
Some sort of toasty, roasty stuff.
Yeah, it's like, it's very, very, I mean, it's a 14% beer, so it's going to be malty. It's going to be a little syrupy. Shit, man.
It's good.
Like real it. Good.
It's a little more on the like dark chocolate, like bitter roast than I don't know, maybe I just can't remember from years
remember,
past.
I don't remember too much from last.
I don't remember this much chocolate.
Yeah,
now that you bring it up. There's a lot more chocolate this year.
I just feel like it has more bitter chocolate. Like I can taste more
definitely on the bitter side.
I do remember last year's was more, had like, it seemed it was more balanced. It might have had, like, a sweet, more sweet
notes. Reminds me of, like, just, like, a dark chocolate sea salt caramel treat, really, with, like, that's, like,
sea salt.
That's just what it reminds me of, like, the dark chocolate and sea salt caramel.
I like those, like, 70% cocoa ones.
I taste a lot of sea salt in this now. It just reminds me of, like, that sort of, like, decadent like, treat.
I'm getting cocoa. Again, like,
it's not that boozy. Once you really drink it, you get a little kick with each sip, but it's not like when you drink a barley wine, like a really high percentage barley wine, where you're like, ooh. Like, remember when we had that, we cracked open that beer that you had that for like a while.
Oh yeah,
that was like pure alcohol.
The bourbon barrel aged barley wine from Harvest Moon in New Brunswick.
Yep,
it was so thick.
We just went
to sleep.
Oh yeah, I didn't even finish mine.
It's like pause and breathe for a minute.
It was hard.
It was drinking hard alcohol, like straight up hard alcohol. This I'm not getting that with this. It's really good. It's just,
do you remember? I've had boozier beers for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, remember this last like year? It's a 14.
14.5.
I remember last year. I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
So I think it would be weird to not have at least some booze on it for being such high gravity. So, I mean, I think maybe, you should at least expect some of it.
Maybe the chocolate's hiding it. Like that increased chocolate. And to be honest, like, I'm getting a lot of dark chocolate, you said, but I'm also getting a lot of vanilla oak. And I think those flavors are counteracting at least some of the booze. My only concern, and like, this is going to happen when you have a high gravity stat like this. It's a little syrupy.
Well, that's all.
I think it's a little syrupy.
I don't think it's that bad.
I don't know. I think that could be a preferential thing too. Some people like that, like sticky type of beers too. Some people really want that. They call it chewy. I don't know. I never really use that term.
I would use that with this. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I would definitely say it's like a chewy.
Kind of leaves a glossiness on your lips kind of thing.
Yeah.
Almost
yeah.
like a wine. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I mean, that was the regular Bourbon County. Final thoughts, ratings? We usually, Dave, for to give you an update or to remind you a little bit, we usually do 1 out of 10 scale. But unlike other 1 out of 10 scales, we tend to use the entire scale. So think of 5 as a beer that is inoffensive to you. So like my 5 beer is Coors Light. It's not terrible. It's not great. It's just beer.
It's water.
That's a high rating.
Yeah, because then it gives you more. Because we've given ones. You know.
Well,
wait. Miller Lite is a 5.
Well, I was gonna say what's Dave's most famous rating from the Extreme Beer Fest?
3. No. 3 stars.
Dave
no.
gave a beer 3 out of 5 stars from the Great American Beer Fest in Boston, and his details on the thing was no.
No. which is still my favorite review of anything ever.
It was.
So go ahead, Dave. What do you?
Are we doing half increments?
Yeah, you can
quarter
do halves.
Increments or
halves usually. I mean, we've done quarters. It's not unprecedented.
Well, he's very precise with his ratings.
Oh, I gotta be.
Go ahead.
Untapped is a quarter increments. That's I'm just used to using.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do the quarters. Yeah, feel free.
We're just not gonna count it. Official knob scale.
Knob scale
that we've created.
Knob says this, Dave says that.
I know it's supposed to be at least some booze, has some booziness to it. I just feel like that I've had beers that were better with the same kind of gravity that didn't have as much booziness. I know some people aren't tasting it, but I feel like it's too, maybe a little too much, and it's kind of distracting from other flavors, although it's still a really good beer itself. I'd say a 9 out of 10 will do. I mean, if it wasn't as high as, it wasn't as boozy, probably would have given it like a 9.5, uh-huh. But for that, I'm going to give it a 9.
Okay.
Ryan?
I think this is, a really well-made, concoction that they did here. I will say, I think everything with it is pretty spot on. It's a little over. I think it is like maybe a certain areas. Some things are harder to detect because it is a little. I think it's a little too boozy. But other than that, I think the oak, the vanilla, and like I said, it reminds me of like a dark chocolate, caramel, sea salt treat. That definitely brings in a nice balance to it. Having said that, I actually agree with Dave. I would give this a 9 out of 10. Not perfect. Pretty fucking cool. Pretty great. I will definitely have this again next year, but not perfect, though. No.
I'm not going to rate it that high in the sense that I don't think it's... I think it's good. It's not my bag, baby. It's really not. It's from Awesome Powers.
Stupid tagline. Yeah.
That.
No, yeah. It's good. It really is good. I'd probably give it an 8. Okay. I don't know if that's too low for you guys.
Elaborate on that.
I feel like with such like with a beer that has this much build up for it, I feel like you should kind of taste the flavors more, and I don't really get that out of it. Especially when you get hit with that booze. Like, it doesn't have that booze aftertaste, which is a plus for me because I hate that. But I do, I would enjoy this, and I can definitely, I like doing this right now. This is pretty awesome. But.
Perfect for a hot summer night.
That being said, I think this might be better aged.
Yes.
You're right. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and say 9. I disagree with Al. I think it's incredibly flavorful. There's dark chocolate, there's vanilla oak, there's a little bit of char. You've got stuff like, I'm even picking up like a little candy sugar, a little dark brown sugar for whatever reason.
I'm not saying it has no flavor. I'm just saying I would want, with a beer with like this much buildup, I'd want like a flavor that hit
more flavor.
More flavorful, I'm saying. I'm not saying it's flavorless. It tastes good.
I could nitpick, but I really won't, because it's just complaints that I have about that are, you just say, well, it's a 14% stout. So, you know, stuff like, oh, it's a little bit cloying, it's a little bit, you know, coats the mouth. That's all, I think, nitpicky stuff at this point. So I'll go ahead and give it a 9. It's very, very good. You know, I've seen some people doing, like, drain pours of this, and I don't get it. You know, I think the only reason you do
what
a drain
do you mean,
pour of this,
drain pour?
They open it and they pour it down the drain.
Well, they've probably tasted it, and they don't want to finish it, so they just...
Right. Whatever. So they...
I thought you meant they literally opened it and just poured it.
That's literally it.
No, they don't drink it?
No.
Oh, is it probably like a statement to like AB or something?
Yeah,
like
so
that?
Like either they have a problem with AB or...
Well,
like...
they just supported them by giving them money,
yeah,
and then they pour it down the drain.
Yeah,
so what does that even do?
So,
that was a
I really like it. So I guess the average rating is somewhere between like, it's like an 8.75.
It's like an 8.75, yeah. 3 nines and an 8. Outlier. Loser.
So yeah, so we're going to jump into our first topic. And then when we're done with this topic, we'll move on to another Bourbon County.
And as we move on to the topics, we'll see how our words slur and if we can keep up with other people's conversations, because by the time I'm sure we get to the third beer...
It's going to be eventful.
It's going to be fun.
Thank you, Lucas, for that great beer review. That's one of three, if we make it to the third one. This is going to be a weird, almost anthology kind of episode of News Over Brews. This is a weird structure where we're not just talking about beer tonight. We're going to be doing our normal shtick. But at the same time, we're going to be talking about beer. We're going to be talking about pop culture. And then we're going to go back to beer and back to pop culture until we either run out of topics, we die, or we run out of beer, which is worse. The first thing I wanted to talk about was something that happened today. Locally, this is really local. People in New Jersey have an affection towards Bruce Springsteen that is like unrivaled compared to anywhere else. Like, I don't think there's ever like really an artist so attached to a state like New Jersey is with Bruce Springsteen.
Well, he is his own genre.
Exactly, but not even that. Like, if really, can you think of another artist that an entire state is obsessed with?
Bon Jovi.
Where is he from?
Motherfucking New Jersey.
That's right. Now, but that's the thing. Like, New Jersey is so, like, I think because we don't have really much to, like, live for.
We have nothing else.
We have nothing else. Like, even, like, our sports teams, like, we claim that we have the Giants and the Jets because they play in New Jersey, but really they're New York because they don't want to be associated with New Jersey. And no one gives a shit about the Devils. Most of the Jersey fans are actually Eagles fans. And guess what? Also not Jersey. It's Philly. Mm-hmm. So, like, the only thing we can really clamor to is music. And the music, the Jersey music scene is two artists, really. It's Bon Jovi. It's Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, there's a lot more Jersey artists out there. But really, those are two, like, claim to fames, basically. We also have Sinatra. But that's really, really close to New York. And most of his songs don't say, you know, New Jersey, New Jersey. So, like, no one really associates him. They always associate him with New York. So, and the thing that happened today, which I thought was really funny, because we always talk about music and going to see live shows here, was a couple days ago, Bruce Springsteen announced that he was touring the anniversary of The River, or mm-hmm. The Ties That Bind, the River, whatever. They're re-releasing this set they did. It's ridiculous, the set. But he's going to tour with it, and the thing that... They announced a show at the Prudential Center, which is in Newark, and I mean, your mom is a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. How many times has she seen him?
Well, she's seen him more times than I think she even knows. I have seen him 7 times.
Okay, so you have seen him 7 times. She has seen him literally
more
countless times. So people were excited. He's only playing one show in Newark. We're close in that area. I think he's playing MSG too, but. When the tickets went on sale, they were sold out in minutes. It was the fastest selling concert ever in Jersey. Entire Jersey history of concert and music. This is the fastest selling show of all time. And it's a guy who's literally played New Jersey a zillion times. What are your thoughts on that? I'm just sending this to Luke, who is the musician of the group and a music aficionado.
Well, I mean, the fact that it showed up on these sites... like minutes after it sold out. I mean, we can get into a whole discussion about like.
I should mention. I'm sorry. I should mention that it was actually trending on Facebook the other day because websites already listed the prices. Like third party sites were already listing concert tickets before they went on sale. Uh-huh. Like prices of tickets. Like, oh, you can buy Springsteen tickets for, you know, $3,000, whatever, like crazy amounts of money, but like,
but they weren't even released.
They weren't released yet,
which
so.
Means like we are getting them. You're not getting them.
Exactly. I've been in that position many times.
Yeah, I know. But when we were talking about this before, Dave had some pretty strong words for the bots, so I'll let him do that. But as far as like Springsteen only playing one show really in Jersey, I'm surprised by that. But also, when he comes to this area, he has a tendency to like play more shows. Like, he'll show up in the Stone Pony,
yeah,
which is where he, like, started. He'll show up at places like the Saint in Asbury. He'll show up at all these different clubs and maybe jump on stage for a few songs.
Which he did most recently, like, 2 months ago. He jumped at the, I don't think it was at the Lanes. Was it the Lanes?
You have to ask my mom. She was there.
She was there. Yeah. She was actually there. She just appeared.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, he's here.
He's in the state.
He's in the state. Love Springsteen. He's an incredible performer. And so it's always great to see him go on another tour. The E Street Band sounds great. The River, I actually just watched the documentary that they made.
That Ties the Bind.
Ties the Bind.
Good?
Amazing.
I really got to listen or watch it.
Like
Not even a Springsteen fan. I just want to watch it.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you definitely have to watch it. But it's also a really good movie.
Yeah.
Because it takes a really in-depth look into what the recording and creative process was like behind that album.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who is currently involved in the recording process with my band, it was cool to see how much different it was back then.
Yeah.
So that's my take on everything. It's great to see him going back on tour. I'm great that he's going out in support of The River, which is a fantastic Springsteen album. It's a double album. A bunch of great songs on there. It's like songs where he really decided to start telling stories in the style of like Neil Young, Bob Dylan, where he would create these characters for songs. And, you know, tell these characters' stories through song on this album. But, yeah, like I said before, Dave had some pretty strong words about, like, the whole bot and resale market side of things. So if you want to...
I just wanted to mention anything that's sought after or, you know, I guess with Springsteen or just... It doesn't even have to be music. It can be, I don't know. Just anything that requires tickets.
Tickets to see Star Wars?
Any tickets to anything that's highly sought after. It takes it, I guess, I don't know. Actually, I don't really know too much about the bots. I just know that it's like some type of computer software that allows people to buy a bunch of tickets and resell them for a much higher price.
Ridiculous amount.
So it's like digital scalping, I guess you'd say. I just think it takes it away, or it takes the opportunities away from big fans that want to just pay a decent price for seeing something they enjoy or going to a place or to an event that they enjoy. And it just I just think it's unfair. And I actually did read today, actually. I was saw it on, I don't know if it was on Facebook or just some news site or Reddit, because I'm on Reddit a lot too. is that they're trying to make botting, I guess, the act of
blocking them,
making it illegal. So hopefully by early next year that is true, and people can start buying tickets without having to pay like 2, 3, or 4 times the price.
I will say one thing. As much as I love bands like Springsteen and you know, like mainstream bands, my genre is like progressive metal and like thrash metal. I never have this problem. I never get to. Yes. I never go buy tickets for like a Megadeth or a Testament show, or what was the last? Or like a Steel Panther show. I never have to worry about those shows being sold out.
That's true.
Probably because no one's ever heard of them.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's exactly. I'll be the first one to admit that. The only reason these guys have heard of Steel Panther is because, I have the signed memorabilia on my wall.
He's probably the only Satchel one that has God. One signed.
Steel Panther's amazing. They were just phenomenal.
You guys saw them a couple times.
I've only seen them once.
But Al, the next time I see them will be the 10th time. I'm getting dressed up. And so hopefully Al will do the same.
I thought you got dressed up the last time.
I wore a dress shirt and a tie.
He literally got dressed up.
I got dressed up. I misread the whole situation.
Do you guys want to comment on either like Springsteen's music. I mean, you guys aren't fans of Springsteen, are you?
No, I work for the Asbury Park Press, so I probably shouldn't say that I'm not a fan of Springsteen. I'll probably get fired.
It's okay. Nobody listens to the show
anymore. Oh, it's true. All right. So no, I actually I'm not a diehard fan of Springsteen. I can listen to his music, but like I never really understood the significance of Springsteen and New Jersey until I started working for the Asbury Park Press, when I realized that they have a conference room named after him. And I was like,
I should look into this guy.
No, I mean, honestly.
Meeting in the Springsteen at 3?
Well, yeah, there's the Springsteen and there's a Bon Jovi room too. Hey, man.
Weird. When you leave the Bon Jovi room, do you have to run away, or is it?
Oh my god!
Get out!
It's his house.
But no, I want to comment more on the like what Dave said with the entire situation of buying tickets is horrible. It's the aftermarket. It's really these sites like StubHub and stuff that's really, and eBay and anywhere that you can really resell tickets. The whole resale market is just kind of just a bad place. I mean, I for tickets, for that kind of stuff, because it's people who aren't going. It's people who are literally buying to buy to sell.
To sell for a crazy price.
So they should have, you know, like, all right, if you're a huge Springsteen fan, they should have almost like a fan club kind of thing where if you sign up early, you can get special access for people who are going to go.
Really,
you
should be for anything. In general.
Anything, this. Yeah, exactly. And they do for some certain things, like, but at the same time, it's just, I think it's just unfair for people like Lucas's mom, who would very much enjoy going to that show. And she, you know what? She'll find her way there anyway.
Well, she'll appear.
She will. She will appear.
Does Bruce know her by a first name basis?
She's met Springsteen.
Yeah.
She tapped him on the shoulder one time at a bar, and she said, she's like, hi, I don't want to bother you, but you know, I'm really a huge fan of you and your music, and it's nice to meet you. And if I remember the story correctly, he was very nice. He said, oh, you know, it's great to meet you too. What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. I think that's how the story went. You have to ask her. We could ask her, but we're not going to. For those of you who don't know, I still live in my mom's basement. I'm okay with that for now.
Al likes it.
Because it's okay. It's okay. I'm a musician living in my mom's basement with a liberal arts degree. I'm fulfilling a stereotype, a very important stereotype.
But what we're is not gonna... that stereotype? I think he needs more.
That was fantastic.
Do you want to end on that?
Oh, my God.
Can we end the segment on that?
Yeah. Sure. We're preparing our next beer right
Please,
now.
Can we stop talking about how I live?
You brought it up. That's what I thought.
Lucas, this is also Bourbon County.
This is also Bourbon County. This is the Bourbon County Barley Wine Ale. So for those of you unaware, barley wine is a style of beer that is very high alcohol, extremely high gravity, usually. Dave, anything else about barley wine as a style? That's like significant about it.
Well, it's it's not like a stout. Usually, typically, people when they think of high gravity, they think of stouts. But this is completely different. It has a different flavor profile, and it's just a completely different beer. Other than that, it's higher alcohol. So that's really the only commonality. But that's pretty much it.
What's the aroma? What do you guys smell? This is a weird one.
I don't really, you know, it's funny, I'm not getting any, like, booze at all.
No.
Unless at all. I'm maybe getting some, like, slight dark fruits or something.
It smells...
I'm getting some definite dark fruits.
Like...
It smells
like
really
raisins,
sweet.
Plums.
Like, crazy sweet. Anyone getting that? No?
Just well, me? I'll give you a hint. Mm. Tastes real sweet, too. Mm. Barley wine is, like, closer to, I think...
Oh, my God.
I'd say closer to a Ooh. Belgian in that you get fruits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Almost like a sour a little bit in that taste.
It's bordering on cloying though.
But very mild. Very mild sour. Not like...
I actually like this more than the Bourbon County.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Me Weirdly too. Enough.
You know, it's really funny.
Did you say more than the Bourbon County?
More than the regular.
Oh, okay.
It has some type. I mean, I know. I don't know if there's some type of like infection, like a sour infection, like some type of bacteria or something. It definitely has like it's slightly tart, which is kind of throwing me because I wasn't expecting.
Was it like the sweetness from like the dark fruits?
But no, but that's the thing is I've never had a barley wine that's tasted like it had. It was
a taste.
Yeah,
like that.
It can, because I've had barley wines that have been either like they can either be like heavier on like the caramel toffee side, or they could be heavier on the dark fruit side. But this doesn't have like any of the ones I've had that have dark fruit forward didn't have that slight like
this is
hardness to it. It's unlike any barley wine I've had.
Luke,
before.
Is you digging this?
I am, and like I think I've pinned down the smell. It's like nothing.
No, there isn't.
But there's a thing. There's like a little thing. Like
but you
a
know,
funk.
It's
okay.
sweet.
It's
okay.
a sweet. It's like almost like a.
How do you describe the funk?
Well, I think Dave was going to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dave had a thing.
It had a. Well, it's slightly tart, but I was going to say it's also worth noting that you just took it out of the fridge. So it is on the cooler side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And since it is a higher. The higher gravity, since it's a higher alcohol beer, we need it to warm up quite a bit in order to get more flavors from it.
Now, do you guys know the exact percentage of this beer?
I know it's
you know
14
it?
Something probably.
I know. I didn't want to. I wanted 12. You guys to guess.
What? Wait, guess on based on the taste?
No. Yeah. Guess. Mm. Guess what the ABV is.
15.8.
Ryan. All right.
12.5.
12.9.
You fucker. You know you saw it.
You
did.
Close. I guess. Like,
he guessed. He legitimately guessed.
I know. It is a 12.9. So
almost. I'll tell you what. I'll guess on the next one.
You'll know
you
that one too.
That one
no,
too.
I don't.
Okay. Memorize them because you're.
Right. I'm finally actually looking at the bottle, and I completely disagree with Dave. I do like the entire bottle. Mm-hmm. I like. You don't like that there's no front label.
Yeah, I mean.
I like this. I love
I
the
like
top
it.
Label because that's cool as hell, with the almost like the little flag, and I like the in the back where it looks like it was hand signed, and in the front it looks like it was hand numbered. This is really cool. If you know anything about me and beer and this podcast. I judge labels. And this one?
It gets a book by its cover.
I do.
Yes.
I judge a beer by its cover.
It's like something from a small batch or something, you know?
I will say this about it. This tastes way more balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Like it's got what everyone's saying, like dark candy. It's got like dark fruits, like plums. It's... sweeter, but at the same time I think it's more pleasant sweetness.
It's you know what, the first thing that came to my mind when you said that is that it just seems to be like it's easier to drink. Like I could drink this and not even realize I'm drinking a 12.9% beer.
That's a good point,
so I
yeah.
could like
yeah, it's not boozy.
No,
nearly
I don't taste
boozy at all.
Yeah, I mean
it's so nice. It's so much nicer.
The stout was just in your face. Like
and
it just
the heat.
I kept tasting.
The heat was
I kept
like
tasting
too much.
the bitterness and the heat. I feel like booziness and bitterness kind of accentuate each other and
mm-hmm.
make it worse. So
so much pleasant.
It is easier to drink though, for sure.
The amazing thing about this is and Dave said it and he hit it perfectly, is that if I gave you this beer, and you went to go drink it, you would not know. Like, oh, it's a barley wine.
No.
You'd say like,
no.
like maybe 9%.
Yeah, I would say 8, maybe.
12.9. Almost 13% alcohol. It's amazing.
It's a little, what was that? That was 14, the last
14.3,
one.
14.3, mm-hmm. was it?
And you taste it.
Yeah, you could definitely
this one
taste it.
Completely, it's hidden.
Anytime I look for a beer, this is personal preference, but like I guess we all have our preferences and what we like in beer, but one of the biggest preferences I like, especially for higher gravity stuff, is balance. You know, if everything equals out, and especially if the booze is hidden in a higher gravity beer, that's what I mainly look for, because it shows, at least for me, craftsmanship in making beer.
Mm-hmm. So, Dave, rating, final thoughts. You gave, what did you give the bourbon? You gave it an 8?
A 9.
9.
You
gave it a
9. I'm actually really liking the slight tartness from it. It's not overbearing. It kind of adds a different element of flavor to it. It's not too sweet. I like that, like that slight tartness kind of balances it out. Man, definitely higher than a 9 for sure. Let me try to taste it one more time. I'm going to go at 9.5. I enjoy the dark fruits. Everything's balanced. Like I said, I enjoy balance in a beer, and this delivers. So that's my score.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say 9.25 on this one. This reminds me of the Tart of Darkness from the brewery, which that little bit of like tart sour behind it, which I don't know if it's intended or not, but it's killer. I love it. I think it really helps to break up what would otherwise be like a very, very, very strong, very like boozy beer. I think that little bit of tartness is like a little bit of refreshing. So yeah, I'll say 9.25.
As for me, going into this, I expected just an abomination of booze and just crazy, just heat, and this was such a pleasant surprise. You two, Dave and Lucas, not Al, fuck you, completely got the drink, got it completely correct. The sweetness completely gives it such like an edge that makes it so refreshing and just what?
What do I do? Do
I'm having wrong? A conversation. Do you normally stare at people like that when they're looking at you?
Yeah.
Like you're gonna stab them. it's so nice. This is incredible. I'm actually going to give it a 10, a full 10.
Okay.
There is nothing I would change about this and nothing I think would make it better. It's a perfect refreshing drink. It's got the booze is obviously there, but it's at such a low level. You have the hint of the chocolate, the smoke. And the dark fruits, definitely. I love that. You know, if you guys have listened to past episodes, I love the dark fruits. I like the dark fruits. I like my fruits dark.
Okay.
And sweet.
All right, moving on.
And tart. Al, go ahead. I'm done talking.
Oh, my God.
Dave, I like my fruit dark.
Dave, are you available to do more podcasts? I don't know. What did I get completely wrong about this? I don't remember even talking about it that much. Or where you came from. That was a wild accusation.
No, I'm saying because you were that they like hit everything like perfect, and you didn't say anything. You were doing
so. Work. I'm wrong because I didn't say anything.
Oh, you said they hit it on the head.
Shut
you
up.
Didn't because you
go stand in the corner.
All right, fine.
This beer is delicious. I've always been a fan of barley wines. Since we've done this podcast, which feels like way too long at this point, you don't taste the high percentage in any way. I wouldn't say sessionable, but it's just really tasty. This is
I would definitely not say sessionable.
This is not sessionable.
Honestly, though, compared to other barley wines I've had, this is. The least amount of like booze, like this does not kill you with each sip. Whereas other barley wines, like, all right, I'm drinking it. Like, okay. I'm drinking something really high percentage.
But that's deceiving, though, because you don't want to say it's safe to drink in session, or else you'll be totally wasted.
I'm pretty sure I said the words, I don't want to say sessionable.
But you
because
said.
Because I didn't say sessionable. I said, I don't want to say the word sessionable because I know that you're not really supposed to session a barley wine. All right, go home. Buy every bottle of Dogfish Head 120 you can, and just drink them all. Just do it.
And then make sure you eat some frozen
and
yogurt.
Make sure you have some Froyo.
You know, I actually just want to make a final thought I thought about while everyone was talking. The one thing that I didn't mention that I didn't even think about while we were drinking this is that it said it was aged in bourbon barrels, but I'm not really getting a lot of bourbon characteristics. I'm getting more of what like a regular barley wine would taste like.
I'm getting a kick at the end.
I don't know, but
that might be attributed to the bourbon.
It's just not as bourbon strong. Heavy as Bourbon County. Or, like,
I think what I was getting from it was a little bit more vanilla, which I think comes out because of the crazy amount of sweetness that's in it. Mm-hmm. So I think the sweetness in this is going to replace the sweetness and the oak of a traditional bourbon, and then what you're left with is vanilla.
Okay. To finish my review,
I'm sorry
that four people, I counted Dave twice. No, I'm kidding. No, it's really sweet, and that's the kind of beer that I like. I surprisingly someone else, Dave, mentioned it that you kind of get reminiscent of a sour in that taste. 10 out of 10, no question about it. I think it kicks the regular one's ass.
So we've got an average review of about 9.65.
You both got 9.25. You guys got 9.5s.
Me, he got 9.25.
That's right.
We'll give it a 9.6.
Yes,
from the knob crew here.
Knob.
I think we're all in agreement though that it's better than the last one. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to move into the next topic, and then after that, we'll drink the next beer, and then we'll see how it goes from there.
I don't even consider that bad. I see some stupid shit sometimes.
I do too.
Thank you, Lucas, for that wonderful beer review. I don't think I should thank you, though. I feel like this has been a group effort.
But well, we should thank him for bringing the beer.
Yeah, I guess. Thanks for bringing the beer.
Yeah.
Before we get into the next topic, how's everyone's level of drunkenness?
I'm actually good. I can actually formulate sentences. Good, yeah. And I'm
feeling good. Mm-hmm. Feeling it a little bit.
Yeah,
feeling good.
Yeah,
feeling good right now.
Yeah, it's
coherent like sentences are still very much coming.
We already ordered pizza, so we should be good.
Yes, we are at the pizza ordering stage of this night
because we already know how the rest of it's going to go.
Yeah, only downhill from here.
Or uphill.
I wanted to talk not only talk about, but I also wanted to honor one of our hosts, Lucas Jones, because he watched a thing.
This week's segment, I watched a thing.
Yes.
Lucas watched a thing.
It's always the same voice in the same tone. It's always like, Tales. What was the thing from Futurama? Where they did the Tales, like the what-ifs scenarios.
Is that the Don't Date Robots guy? Don't date robots.
No, I was talking about the episodes where they did not Journey into Mystery because that's the first appearance of Thor, but like the they have like the what if scenarios, like what if Bender was human.
Oh right, yeah.
Oh, it's like Tales to Astonish, also also a Marvel thing.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, but anyway. No one knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, so really, the reason that Ryan does that is because I have a tendency... Hold on one second. I'm going to do something to make this easier. Okay.
Feel better?
I have a tendency to not watch things for a few simple reasons. The first reason is because the TV that I have is not hooked up to cable right now.
It's from 1998.
Because the TV doesn't have a coaxial input, which is weird. It only has an HDMI input. So I don't have TV. I have Netflix, I have Hulu, and I find things.
Truly, in this day and age, websites. You don't need anything else.
Right, you don't really need TV. So I don't really watch TV. A, B, I'm busy. I'm in a band. I'm working on a second band. I am driving all over the place all the time. I don't have a lot of time to watch things. So the last thing that I binge watched was Game of Thrones. I finished 5 seasons in 2 weeks. Didn't sleep. So this time I found myself. I think the secret, Alan Ryan, you should pay attention to this, is you guys tell me to watch something, and that night I say to myself, I've got 2-3 hours. I can watch 2 or 3 episodes. I watch Jessica Jones.
Finally.
So excited.
Staying relevant with the times.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Such a good show. Now, I watch those first 2 episodes, I'm like, can't not watch the rest of them
exactly.
now.
Exactly. And the only thing that irritates me to my core is that...
The very fiber of my being
is that you didn't watch Daredevil. You completely skipped over Daredevil and you went straight to Jessica Jones. And for those of you who have not listened to the show before, Ryan and I and Lucas, who was there, I guess, have always talked about, probably since they announced it, like I think that's how long we've been doing the show, is Marvel and Netflix, they made this deal where they were going to film five different series, all set in New York, about all the different characters, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, leading up to a series, linking them all together in an Avengers-based kind of way called The Defenders.
Basically a poor man's Avengers.
Yes. And it's their street-level heroes. That's like their, that's how they kind of differentiate. Why can't I talk tonight? Thank you. See, that's why we have Dave on the show.
Dave's got it.
It's basically, yeah, it's your street-level Avengers. Daredevil is what started it off. It is probably one of the greatest shows you could ever watch. And it's also a comic book series. It's really insane. And I'm very happy that you watched Jessica Jones, but god damn it, you need to go back and watch Daredevil.
I gotta backtrack and watch a better series.
Well, I mean,
you
so,
can't say that.
Jessica Jones was amazing.
Because Jessica Jones
so
is amazing, and really I think good. Mostly because of everything about it.
It's completely different, though.
But it, yeah, is completely it was completely different. It was very raw. It was very, like, visceral. It was great. It didn't really pull any punches. David Tennant was in it. Who is just... Ryan and I were talking about on the way to Best Buy tonight. David Tennant is just, like...
What is there? There's no words.
Like, what... He's masterful.
Yeah. I said in another podcast, if I wasn't dating my girlfriend, I would go gay for him.
There you go.
David,
if you're listening.
David, if you're listening.
But yeah, he's
Barty
great.
Crouch, Jr., if you're listening. That's a Harry Potter reference. He was in Harry Potter.
Yeah, thank it's just great. The writing, the storylines, just the way that they, you know, we were talking about in the car that Ryan's up to season or episode 6, episode 7, and he's like, there's nowhere else could they go. Like, where else could they possibly go with
I'm at
this?
That point. I'm at that point.
Oh, my
where
friend.
I'm like,
this
like,
season's
got to
be over.
But, like, how is there going to be 5 or 6 more episodes?
Oh, there's more.
Oh, there's more, my friend.
I'm so excited.
It's so good.
So I watched, that was this week's I Watched a Thing. I watched Jessica Jones. Dave, tune in next time. Maybe you'll.
I was going to say, Dave, is there any chance you watched Daredevil or Jessica
Jones? Have you watched The Thing?
Have you watched The
I
Thing?
I am completely out of this conversation because I know nothing about it. So.
Well, what are you watching, Dave? What's Dave watching? Dave, you watching?
I watched The Walking Dead, but right. I haven't watched
it. I'm a little behind on that.
Dave
watches The Walking Dead.
I watch Bar Rescue on Esquire.
Bar Rescue's good.
Oh, we love Bar
John,
Rescue.
John Taffer.
Big J Taffer fans here.
John Taffer is the man.
If you don't start watching Bar Rescue, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
I'm going to choke you with your own goddamn hands.
My actually my brother's friend, he's you know how he gets really personal sometimes with
him? Oh.
He's a friend of mine. He like made up a quote of something that not that he actually said, but he's like, "I don't mean to get personal, but this is why your wife left you."
This is why I fucked your wife in the kitchen last week.
I his voice makes the entire show.
I love when he gets in their face. He's so personable, and he's so personable.
When he finally gets the one, he sees the one thing. Like he sends his guys in for the restaurant, and he catches like the chefs like mixing their hands in the chicken and the raw vegetables.
Yes,
like, I gotta stop it. My guys are in danger. I cannot allow this to happen.
I gotta get out of here.
I'm shutting it down. Get your fucking hands out of that bowl.
Like someone's being murdered.
You worthless pile of shit. You're mixing chicken with salad greens. I hope you die.
I love when he runs in and they go like, "Oh, I can't wait to meet John Taffer." And he's in their face and he's like, "You're a fucking piece of shit. I'm gonna take a shit on this place and rape your wife." And then, like, these people are like, "I don't want to come back tomorrow." And then he's like, and then 3 days later, he's like, "I'm so glad we got that out of the way." And then
I'm back. I feel okay. I feel much better.
You have to understand, she put a little extra too much lemon juice in the drink. Got me crazy. This place is losing thousands of dollars.
I saw her making a cosmopolitan with strawberry juice. I lost my goddamn mind.
I bit the wheel of my car. It was crazy. But.
So,
Al,
did you have designs for this portion of the segment besides what are Lucas and Dave watching?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Next thing, Iron Fist. Oh, yeah. That's complete. Thanks, Ryan. thanks for the assist. So, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and within Jessica Jones, we're introduced to another character, Luke Cage. And the only person that has not been a part of the equation so far, or mentioned, kind of, is been Iron Fist. There's a very, very small mention of him, not by name, but by something along the lines as a good Easter egg in Daredevil in the first season. But Iron Fist, we have heard nothing in terms of who's involved in the show in any capacity, whether it's showrunner, writing, acting, anything.
Nothing.
Nothing. We've heard nothing about Iron Fist. To the extent that we have already have a trailer for Daredevil Season 2, and still nothing about Iron Fist. So there was rumors flying that Marvel's having trouble developing Iron Fist. They don't know if they can handle mysticism yet before they introduce Doctor Strange into the actual Marvel Cinematic Universe. Is it going to be a series? Are they going to actually just do a movie instead on Netflix? Finally, we got some answers on a couple of those questions during a premiere of some sort. Joe Quesada, who's the head of Marvel, said, no, we're not doing a movie. I don't know who said that. We're still doing a show. It's being developed. You'll hear stuff soon. And now we're starting to hear stuff.
Yeah.
So
good stuff.
Really good stuff. Showrunner has been announced. And this is the guy. I mean, showrunners over the last decade or so have kind of become synonymous with the show itself. Like, I'm going to say Vince Gilligan of Breaking Bad. You know, you get like the person that's really attached to the show. Shonda Rhimes with literally everything that's on ABC.
Shondaland.
Yeah. Shondaland, everything that's on ABC on Thursdays. So they announced that Scott Buck, the original showrunner of Dexter and also Six Feet Under,
yeah,
is going to be the showrunner of Iron Fist. This is great news because now we're one step closer for Michael C. Hall being Iron Fist.
Finally.
And that's all we want.
I wanted him for Daredevil. Because think about it.
He, like, Charlie Cox,
yeah,
Kristen Ritter, Michael Coulter. Michael C. Hall could fit in that age group. Like, he's kind of in there.
Absolutely.
He's like that 30 to 40 range. Yeah.
He could absolutely fit in there.
This is great news because Iron Fist was probably one of the more interesting concepts out of, like, Daredevil, Blind Lawyer. We've already seen a movie. The movie was crap, but we got a great show. There's good parts of the movie, but at the same time, it's not a great movie. Jessica Jones was probably one of the harder shows to develop because, like, no one really knows outside of people who've read the series. Alias, know who the character is. Luke Cage, simple. Concept, just really strong.
Wait,
guy.
Alias is about Jessica Jones?
Not that Alias. That's the reason they never called the show Alias, because there was already a show called Alias. There's a book.
Okay.
Jessica Jones is from the book.
You
Alias.
Blew my mind for a second. A
little bit. Sorry.
Jay Garn? What?
Jay Garn? What? That's a weird Daredevil connection.
I'm so sorry.
That's why you blew my mind.
I know.
Yeah.
A little bit. Marvelception. So, Iron Fist was just like a cool concept. We've never seen him in any media outside of like video games or comic books. You know, Danny Rand, billionaire turned martial arts expert with glowing power, like, hands. It's such a cool concept. So I can understand their difficulty of getting it up and running, but at the same time, just fucking do it already because I want to see
Marvel.
It. It's Marvel. Wonders. It's Marvel. Just fucking make it happen.
They've been blowing our minds for 10 years.
Exactly. 10 years now. Crazy.
Well, the cinematic universe, you know what I mean.
Since, what, 08?
Yeah, it's 10 years. 8 years almost.
8 years. Well, anyway, but I think this is more of, yeah, this is like talking about this news. Ryan, what do you think about this decision? I can ask you that so I can stop talking.
Obviously, I love it. It's amazing. You know, this guy, Scott Buck, comes from such promising, has a promising resume, obviously, from 6 Feet Under, which was a long-lasting show. Dexter, a fan favorite, most of it. And coming aboard, this shows some great, another Dexter alum, because I don't know if you guys realize, or Al even realize, the head writer from Dexter went on to do Jessica Jones.
Yes.
Melissa Rosenberg? I don't know.
I think it's Rosenberg.
Rosenberg. So she went on to do the head writing of Jessica Jones. Now Scott Buck is doing Iron Fist. It's great news. He can obviously lead a show, do some great material, work with some amazing stuff, and so obviously I have no complaints. It just makes me say, okay, so when are they announcing Michael C. Hall?
Just make it happen.
Even if he's like in the show, not as Iron Fist.
Imagine he's the villain.
Anything.
Anything.
Give this man work.
Yeah.
Michael, guys, you're listening. I know you are.
Mike, we only have your best interest at heart.
talk to Scott. Say, listen, Scotty.
Scotty B.
Scotty B.
Scotty B.
Put me in the show.
Just do it. Like, it'd be fantastic. I think he's the perfect person to play him.
Just give him work. Yeah, I would. He can work it. He can
and
do it.
It's not like Dexter. It's not like Dexter, in the sense that like this is a one and done kind of thing. Like you make the show, it's released in one day. You know, you don't have to talk about it all year.
Fuck yeah.
All you have to do is talk about it during the cons. It's it. Like you don't have to promote it.
Netflix has like cracked the code.
They cracked the code because they are doing Marvel stories in 13 hours as opposed to two. Like, wouldn't you rather watch a 13-hour Iron Man anthology than just a two-hour Iron Man movie?
Waiting 2 years for an Iron Man movie.
Yeah, because that's what Jessica Jones is. You're watching a story unfold over 13 hours. You get more character development. You learn more about the side characters.
I'm totally in favor of putting everything on Netflix.
Right?
As a person who doesn't watch things often, it's great that when I have, like, 3 days, I can watch it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I haven't seen Iron Man 3. I think I've seen half of Iron Man 2. Like, it took me 2 years to watch Winter Soldier.
Oh, such a good movie. I don't know why it took you so long.
Yeah.
And it was a great movie. But, like, Jessica Jones, I watched in 3 nights. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, I watched in 2 weeks.
Once you get into the swing of things, you're unstoppable.
But, like, the thing is that it's much easier for me as a person who doesn't work, like, a regular schedule or have, like, regular times that he's available, to be able to sit down and say to myself, like, oh, okay, I've got, you know, 3 hours. I can watch 3 episodes of whatever show I'm going to watch. So to me, I prefer Netflix's model over the standard model of content delivery.
They're literally changing everything.
And not only, like, they're not only, I shouldn't say content delivery, because, like, that's downplaying the amazing thing they're doing. Like, they have these shows they're doing, they're doing all kinds of real cool stuff, but, like, the shows are good. Like, if the shows were shit and they were delivering them over 13 episodes, then it wouldn't be such a big deal. But the shows are great. House of Cards? Freaking amazing. You know, so it's a combination of the fact that they are delivering these shows in a great, great way, and it's cheap, and, you know, you can watch them whenever you want. Because Americans don't work 9-to-5 anymore.
I think it's leading to that.
The large portion of people who consume shows on Netflix, the 18 to 25s, don't work 9-to-5 jobs. We work part-time jobs, a lot of us. Or we have second jobs, like Al over there. Captain 40K a year has to work a second job. I know I work 6 jobs. And
6 rocker,
one of which is being
musician
a,
is not one of them.
Yeah, okay, then 7 jobs. But yeah, so it's nice to be able to, you know, you sit down, you got some time, you watch it. But I think I can speak for all of us here, is that our conversation about Marvel and Netflix and Jessica Jones has ended because I have just poured our final beer.
That was the first half of our Bourbon County podcast. Stay tuned for the second half, where we drink the Regal Rye and give our reactions to the new Star Wars film.